Jerry Bader Show 1036. Ah, yeah, urinals at your seat. Well, they could sell those, you know, you strap them, you know. Well, I'm just saying they could sell them at the ballpark, you know. Well, I want to check the other email on this topic before we move on. There are beer machines on the street in China. They don't have an underage alcohol problem. Maybe that's something we should try to understand and delve into. I don't know if that's accurate or not. You could have a gated area where someone checks the age. I suppose there are ways to make it work. Talking about self-serve beer vending machines at the moment, sport venues. I did the after-show video on this yesterday. It was the sentencing Monday of who was once a promising college football player, a linebacker from Iguanago, Dominic Sezauskas. In December, he was at UW-Madison on an official recruiting visit. He was going to be a Badger. He was accused of raping a woman in a UW dorm room. The woman knew him. She testified at trial that she and Sezauskas had had sex in the past during high school and that Sezauskas had contacted her about visiting her while he was in Madison. She said she was studying in her dorm room when he arrived drunk, wanting sex. She said she tried to give him strong hints to leave, but he wouldn't. She says that ultimately he forced himself on her, and this has ruined her life. On Facebook, there's this campaign back home defending him, and she's this bad person that ruined him. I don't doubt any of that. He was sentenced to 3 years probation, first year in the county jail. Questions have been asked. How does a high school recruit who's doing a campus visit get left to his own devices to the point where he gets drunk and is able to just go look up an old friend and ultimately rape her? Perhaps friend, given the circumstances, the wrong use of the word. It is a legitimate question, and it's one the athletic department at UW has never answered. How does that happen? Okay, he got drunk. So how much freedom? Remember, he's not 21. He isn't 21. How much freedom are high school students making official recruitment visits given? How much are they given? He found a party where he got drunk. What are the athletic department policies there? By the way, I think Barry Alvarez has been a great AD. Much better than I thought he was going to be. I wasn't a fan of that move. I really wasn't. You know, it's like the employee becoming the boss there. I just, But it has worked out. He was the boss. Yeah, okay. He was the boss. That's a valid point. But he's been good. He absolutely has. But this is a glaring question. And it hasn't gotten a lot of attention. But I think now that this case has been resolved, there's a bigger issue than that. This is a pretty light sentence to me, and here's what I believe, but I don't know. That because these two knew each other, I think, and because it raises the question larger than it does in other rape cases of whether it was consensual, and they had consensual sex in the past, I think is playing into the charge filed, third-degree sexual assault, and the sentence. I think it should draw more than a year in jail. And I also don't doubt that misguided people were coming to his defense. This does happen. But it, yeah, that's a good question too. A caller wants to know, Where the hell were his parents? Don't they usually go with him on these trips? Wouldn't you think so? Well, there are a lot of questions here that have never gotten answered. And questions that go unanswered often means that they have uncomfortable answers. That's what they often mean. Speaking of uncomfortable, last week, I think it was Friday. What was the 22nd? I lose all track of everything. What day of the week was the 20? It was Friday. There were two pieces, one in the New York Times, one at CNN, arguing that ISIS, evil personified, sweeping across the Mideast, other regions, and I think is a global threat. Two opinion pieces, one in the New York Times, as I say, and one in CNN, said we shouldn't call them evil. This is just, and we shouldn't call them a cancer. And they're very disappointed that President Obama would do this. Let's start with a bit from Michael Boyle. The beheading of American journalist James Foley by the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, has rightly provoked global condemnation of the insurgent group and its horrific tactics. Yet, it has also led to a disturbing return of the moralistic language once used to describe al-Qaeda in the panicked days after the 9/11 attacks. In an eerie echo of President George W. Bush's description of the global war on terrorism as a campaign against evildoers, President Obama described ISIS as a cancer spreading across the Middle East that has no place in the 21st century. Secretary of State John Kerry condemned ISIS as the face of a savage and valueless evil, while Britain's Prime Minister David Cameron called the group barbaric. There is no question that ISIS has committed thousands of grave human rights violations against civilians in Iraq and Syria, and that many of its most gruesome acts, like the execution of Mr. Foley, constitute war crimes. Anyone with a conscience is disgusted by their brutality toward not just Mr. Foley, but the thousands of Iraqi and Syrian civilians whom they've killed, raped, and even buried alive. It is natural to want to condemn this organization and to do so in a harsh language that fully expresses our revulsion over its tactics. Indeed, condemning the black-clad masked militants as purely evil is seductive, for it conveys a moral clarity, and listen to this, and separates ourselves and our tactics from the enemy and theirs. Well, it makes it sound like we're morally superior. We are! Back to this piece. But if the war on terror has taught us anything, it is that such moralistic language can blind its users to consequences. Describing a group as inexplicable and nihilistic, as Mr. Kerry did, tends to obscure the group's strategic aims and preclude further analysis. Resorting to ritualized rhetoric can be a very costly mistake if it leads one to misunderstand an enemy and to take actions that inadvertently help its cause. Listen to this. After 9/11, the Bush administration's repeated use of the language of good and evil played directly into the hands of al-Qaeda. For years, the jihadis have portrayed themselves as engaged in a war against the Christian West and preached that America intended to invade and occupy Muslim lands. Mr. Bush's call for a crusade against radical Islam, combined with the occupation of Iraq, confirmed that narrative and gave al-Qaeda a boost in funding and recruitment. Oh, so we shouldn't anger them because it might energize them. Go to hell. They are evil. This is evil personified. Then James Dawes, writing at CNN, is ISIS evil? The problem with that question is the answer is as easy as it is useless. Yes, ISIS is evil and must be stopped. Saying so over and over again could very well make it harder to stop them. And he basically, it's the same argument. Feeling we are morally superior is dangerous. So we shouldn't marginalize, perhaps, the greatest evil the earth has seen since Adolf Hitler. And that is what ISIS, ISIL might be. but we're not supposed to call evil evil. And then they come up with this idiotic explanation why. I will tell you why these two libs don't want you to call ISIS evil. Because they refuse to believe evil exists. Because if evil exists, that makes us good, and you can't have that, because the United States is just another run-of-the-mill country. There's nothing morally superior about us. This just shows you how far off the deep end the left has gone. If the United States can't claim moral superiority over ISIS, who the hell can, over who can they? Who? Was the United States morally superior to Nazi Germany? You know, I don't even know if I have the guts to ask a liberal that question. Because I don't think I want to hear the answer. Well, if you're a liberal listening right now, I know you won't call. But just if you're listening, ask yourself. If you don't believe we are morally superior to animals, I shouldn't even, that's an insult to animals, to monsters who rape and behead children, and they have done both to children, if we're not morally superior to them, to whom are we? And if we are not morally superior to them, were we morally superior to Hitler? Yes or no? Because the only thing they lack compared to Hitler is an organized governmental structure. That's it. And it's getting to the point where they barely are lacking in military compared to Hitler. They still are, obviously. But this just shows you how desperate the left is to never allow the United States to claim moral superiority to anyone. Were we morally superior to the Soviet Union? That has to include Stalin, you know. That has to include Lenin, you know. Were we or weren't we? Millions died in the former Soviet Union. This is just incredible. This is how important moral equivocating has become to the left. Bloodthirsty, butchering rapists and murderers, and we can't claim moral superiority over them? We can't call them evil? There are probably entities in the United States that the left considers more evil than ISIS. Who do they hate more? The NRA or ISIS? George Bush or ISIS? It's a good question. Again, I would fear the answers. I would fear the answers to those. I want to get to the Burger King story. Before the end of the show, which is quickly approaching, it's 10:49.
The Jerry Bader Show.